How many websites do you use to get your daily dose of wrestling news and views? 3, 4, 5 or more? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1 by going to WrestleChat.net. Franklin Daniel and his staff bring you the most comprehensive wrestling headlines all day, every day. Plus, WrestleChat brings you informative and entertaining podcasts like the Still Real to Us Show, the Bauer Show Podcast, and the North American Wrestling Connection each and every week. For up-to-date wrestling news and insightful wrestling views, there's only one site to turn to, and that's WrestleChat.net, your pro wrestling news source. The following program is a CLW83.com production. This edition of the NAWC is
uncensored.
For nearly 8 years.
8 years.
And nearing 400 episodes.
400 episodes.
The North American Wrestling Connection.
The NAWC.
Professional Wrestling's podcast
of record.
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 And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and CLW83.com present the North American Wrestling Connection, your home for informative and entertaining wrestling discussion since 2007. Sanctioned this week by the following.
It's time to bleep and blur the big TV moments of the week. Whether they need it or not, it is this week in unnecessary censorship.
I don't feel like talking. I feel like f***ing. So Big Show, bring your ass out here right now!
Unfortunately, there are corners of the internet who would take that the way is, take it as presented and watch. Not my interest, even though I am a fan of Roman Reigns. I'm not a fan of what that implied. So let us get to the actual truthful wrestling news as it is here at the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman, and tonight at the table, we've got the brain trust. It looks like I have my computer technician VRM.
Yes, currently dialing back all the blue for the moment. Then Jim is unhappy with tonight's results.
Oh, and he'll be even more unhappy tomorrow. we also have our numbers guy, Stat Boy Josh Henniger.
I'm a physical calamity.
Aren't we all? And then we have our legal correspondent, Jason Block.
Hey guys, okay, I saw snow in the last couple of days. It's still too damn cold. It's 45.
And we've got we've got a freeze warning over here tomorrow.
I know.
Freeze warning.
I'm going to the game tomorrow, so I'm going to be freezing my you-know-what's off tomorrow.
So you're going to be frozen tomorrow.
Yes, let it go.
Not aiming for that, but hey.
I know what you were going
you
for.
You said the...
But I'm sorry. Did I ship the weather that way? I shouldn't do that to you guys.
Yeah, I know.
Oops. So, my bad.
Oh, you mean...
My bad!
Yes.
Thus, this week was go-home week for the WWE.
Literally and otherwise.
Yes. They were just glad to be back in the States, and some welcome home doofus is always welcome. Some of that welcome home doofus included Randy Orton threatening to RKO everybody in the building.
And did it 5 times.
Yeah, he got 5 in, but, you know, I was expecting more. There were 2 or 3 places that I would have liked to have seen an RKO, but I was okay with him RKOing the entire New Day.
Actually, he got 2 out of 3. I think Big E just took a pop.
No, that's right. Big E got away.
Mm-hmm.
but he RKO'd Xavier, air KO'd Kofi. Then he went to the back, saw somebody sitting in catering, and tossed Heath Slater's salad.
He did! Okay.
I'm sorry.
Visual, no.
Right, Bleach.
Oh, come on.
No, just for Josh.
Oh, all right.
Brain Bleach!
You don't toss another man's salad. You do not touch another man's rhubarb.
But if you don't, well, okay. There's a couple of things about this. When he did toss Keith Slater's salad, he actually picked it up and ate it. If you saw it.
And we killed Josh.
Which is true. He's looked at it and of course, but Nikki, props, as you said to me off air this week, to Eric Rowan, who basically said, "Oh shit, here we go."
Yeah, Eric Rowan sitting next to Slater, and Slater complaining about his salad, and Rowan just gets up and walks away, which seems very normal for Eric Rowan. Mainly because he didn't want to catch Heath Slater's jobber, even though they're both ginger. And Slater gasps as Randy Orton decides to show up and do said tossing. Yes, I know it sounds wrong. It is literal and correct.
Yes, it is absolutely literal and correct. Oh my god.
That's kind of correct.
But yes, I understand that in your brain you're going
wrong, 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 wrong,
on many levels. And so RKO number 4 was the A-lister, the Miz,
which was the out of nowhere,
which was a bona fide out of nowhere. I'll have to give him that. But I wanted Sandow to be the one putting Miz out so he could go shoot another movie.
What movie is he shooting now?
Santa's Little Helper.
The one with Paige.
Yeah. Poor Paige.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And, of course, number 5.
Which was the one he promised at the beginning of the show. That he was going to get Seth.
And boy, howdy did he. And by the way, props to Seth Rollins in that one. Because that RKO was insane. Okay.
Yeah, that's true. They did another air KO. They had
off
done
the
another
cage.
Yeah, off the cage. Now, of course, what made it more fun was the fact that Seth had been jumping at shadows all night. First walking around backstage and getting ambushed by the primetime players.
Oh yes, with Titus O'Neil going and freaking Seth, them all out.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. And, oh, by the way, the primetime players are so on right now, it's not funny. Actually, it's quite funny. They had a lot of fun poking at Cesaro and Kid and towing the PG line.
Oh gee. Very. They almost went off the cliff a couple of times. Sorry.
No. And thing is, they made it sound natural, and Even though D. Young had a script and a lovely poem where he was only talking about Tyson's cats.
Yeah.
Honest. Is it what? Well, he has cats on his gear. Well, he has cats on his gear? So anyway. So it's just brilliant stuff. And, you know, Seth had to worry. First he had to worry about Randy, then he had to worry about Kane.
Oh.
Seth, why must you press a Hellhound's buttons?
This is the ultimate example of poking the bear. And all night all Seth did when Kane was off screen was poke the bear. And with a little help from Jamie Noble.
And then they decided to top it with some meta. Some beautiful, beautiful meta. If you recall the headlines a few episodes ago, we talked about Seth Rollins showing us much showing off his money in the bank. Well, we had a leaked email where Seth suggested that Kane get some Dentsu cream and some Depends.
Ow.
Shots fired.
Shots fired and a little bit of yank annuity. Yank annuity.
Yeah. Beautiful bit of Kane annuity. But yank annuity sounds better. And just the fact that Kane really did look like he was going to murder Seth right then and there. I was all for it. But that's because I will root for the Hellhound. Poor destroyer of worlds he is. We had... Let's see.
But you forgot the second Kane-nuity part of it. So Kane gets pissed.
Yes.
At this, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he says, Dentsu cream? Adult diapers? And Seth goes, wait. He goes, how did that get out?
And yeah, everyone just looked like, and Jamie's like, hi.
Jamie Noble is dead.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be going back to the trailer park without the use of his mouth in short order.
I want to see how fast Jamie Noble can run with one foot in his mouth. Seriously.
I got to tell you, though, all joking aside, Jamie Noble and J&J Security, they are doing such a fantastic job of being the submissive dick security people. They are fantastic. They are all, come on, they really good.
Well, and Joey Mercury is having fun being the silent type when they went to go talk to Luke Harper. Because we know Jamie Noble can talk. He was a good talker, and he was a great cruiserweight.
Mm-hmm.
And he even threw in some West Virginia humor that he can talk to Luke Harper because they're related.
yeah, by his third cousin twice removed, something or other.
Who married my aunt's mechanic. Just never mind. West Virginia, we're all family.
Heath Slater is too nice.
And that's an interesting branch of the tree. Anyway.
If your family tree does not fork, there you go. Right?
Exactly. If your family tree does not have any branches, you might be a redneck. Anyway. Let's see. We had that nonsense. We had a one. Actually, the main event was very good. They had a lot of fun with that tag match. They also had a little bit of fun with Roman Reigns during the show.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him something to play with. And let him show his sense of humor before he murdered Bo Dallas. Welcome back, Bo. Eat a Superman punch.
And a spear. Mm-hmm.
And a spear. To which Roman punctuated by saying, and you can believe that. And he almost said it with a straight face, but he couldn't. We noticed in, let's see, was it Raw that... Rollins says he was dedicating the match to Kane, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, that was for Ziggler.
Oh, against Ziggler. But he didn't use the curb stomp. Now, the internet has been blathering back and forth about, oh my god, the curb stomp's banned, da-da-da-da-da, neck injuries, concussions, you know, paranoia, all that wonderful stuff. Gentlemen, somebody's taken a look at it, and they came back and said,
bullshit.
Mm-hmm, because that was a rumor generated by some other jackassery website in order to drive hits.
Yeah, so the curb stomp may or may not be banned, Raja. And
and the only site that reported it, like, only one major sheet reported it, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Who had it? Because Meltzer's like, what the hell are you talking about?
Wasn't it WrestleZone?
Yeah, WrestleZone had it. Yeah, and the thing was, yeah.
And they were the only sheet to report it.
And what happened was is that another more reputable site, I'm not going to mention names, I think it was PWI, basically said, no. it's being taken away because it looks like a more powerful move, what he's doing. Okay?
Mm-hmm. We got a name for that? What was it, like a DDT Facebuster?
Something to that effect. We don't have a name yet. We don't have a name. But look, if you want to bring back the curb stomp, do it specialty, you know?
Kind of like what they do with Randy Orton and the punt.
Yes.
Oh, am I giving something away?
Yes, you are.
Yes.
So, we had that going on. We also had, while we still don't know who's hosting it, the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, announced that Tough Enough would be starting in late June. Send in your videos!
Oh boy, and people have in droves.
And I did a little investigating with a little help from Jason. WWETouchEnough.com has its own little entity. Whoops. Where the evil boss has given you a place where you can apply.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives you some do's and don'ts. Please no vertical shooting if you're going to do this on your phone. Landscape! show us how passionate you are about WWE. Show us some personality and show off the physique. But please, don't use copyrighted music, trademark logos. Don't shoot it for more than a minute. Don't showcase anybody else in your video. No nudity, no profanity, and no vulgarity.
Fuck!
RPG. Fuck! How am I supposed to get my video done? Anyway.
Shut your fucking mouth!
It's the old... Dude, this kid... shut up! It's like the DX press conference, you know?
Aw, shit. What's your fucking mouth? Oh, fuck me. Anyway.
Dad, sorry.
No, it's all right because that video is glorious, censored or not. In fact, I kind of prefer the uncensored version. Anyway, but the eligibility stuff, the legalese that all goes into this was actually pretty interesting. Let's see. Your video must feature you alone. No one other than you may contribute to the content of the video, and no one other than you may appear or be heard in the video. Must be original, must not include unlawful, threatening, libelous, defamatory, indecent, obscene, vulgar, pornographic, or profane material. Material that violates the intellectual property, privacy, or other rights of third parties.
In other words, don't steal our shit.
Don't steal nobody's shit. You might consider showing off your physique, performing a demonstration of your athleticism and or your physical fitness, or making a verbal statement why you should be a superstar or diva. You are encouraged to be creative and have fun, but do not attempt any wrestling moves or any imitations of wrestling moves.
That means you getting revenge. What is it, girl and pool guy, whatever his name is?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if you're trained yet, so don't try this shit yet. Let us teach you how to do it if we want to pick you. You have to be at least 18 years old, obviously. Although if you turn 18 in June, they might consider you still.
Mm.
contestants cannot have family that is working for the WWE, as
we which, were talking. Yeah, which might actively disqualify one of these possible competitors.
It just depends on what Larry Zbyszko's actual status is with the WWE.
If he has a legend contract or it's a one-shot deal.
Yeah. Let's see. You must voluntarily submit and complete a background check in accordance with applicable laws and execute all documents or have your parents help you with it if you're not 18 yet, required by WWE in connection with said background check. In other words, we're going to find all your dirty laundry before it gets out.
That means you said, oh, wait, I'm sorry.
That was already signed. It was too late.
Too late, damn it. It already got out.
It didn't get far, but it got out. Anyway,
damn it, you got me in mid-drink. Damn. Sorry, go on.
Okay. Anyway, let's see. What else do we have? If you are invited to participate in additional rounds, you must timely complete and return the participation agreement, release and arbitration provision, and all this other paper. We've got a mountain of paperwork for you to fill out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. And after you submit your stuff, they can use your name and likeness. You understand that your submission or parts thereof, including your first name, last name, and place of residence, may be shown on television or the internet, or otherwise used by WWE in connection with promoting the contest or otherwise. And if you're not picked, we're not paying you for it. Mm-hmm. Is the gist of it.
It's an audition.
It is a formal audition, and I'm curious and intrigued and tempted. But then there's my Uncle Paul. It's something to think about. Whoops. So we had. Okay, I need to address what some people thought might have been Dolph Ziggler having another Twitter tantrum.
Oh boy!
The reason I'm going to comment on it is not because it was a legit Twitter tantrum. Judging from the way Sheamus was talking on SmackDown, I think it was. When they had him and Barrett facing off against Ziggler and Neville. Why are you giving this away? Take my $9.99. Anyway. But Sheamus essentially talked down, literally and figuratively, to Ziggler and Neville, making fun of the fact that they're just normal-sized little guys trying to make it big. But then there's the legit big guys like himself and Barrett. To show him a thing or two. So, to me, after listening to Sheamus's promo, reading that Twitter, reading this long tweet, I think the answer lies about here.
WORK Work Radio.
It's a work.
I really think it's part of the storyline. I mean, after all, we are coming up on the Kiss Me Irish match. Which, Statboy, I'm just gonna let me just save you a visual. The only reason Ziggler and Sheamus are doing this is because Jey Uso's hurt.
Oh,
excuse me, blinded by the light. I mean, seriously, I mean,
wrapped up like a douche, another runner in a night. What?
No. I mean, if we get to see Sheamus, that Ziggler has to win the match. I mean, Sheamus has to win the match because seriously, no, wait, I'm sorry, Ziggler has to win the match.
A pale moon in Chicago, yes.
Yes, moon.
Yeah. Actually, I have my wild card for that match.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? A pale moon. Wait a minute, that's not the way the song
that's
goes.
That's no moon!
That's my mother! No?
No.
Drat.
But, no, I've got my wild card for that match. Anyway, let's see. Ah, yes. Podcast is Jericho is coming back next week. April 30th, set your internet calendars, ladies and gentlemen, because we are going to get something a little more interesting than what we did with Jericho and Cena. Mr. J.
Oh, wow. Good one. Nice reference. Yes.
Is going to have a seat with the Billion Dollar Princess. And we know about their wonderful, wonderful chemistry.
Oh, 2001.
She's
looks
the
like
breast.
Like daddy's little... Yeah, go ahead.
She's the breast. I mean best. I'm sorry.
looks like daddy's little girl's grown over the years. Yeah. Or I think the final one was... You keep saying, let the bodies hit the floor.
Oh, yes, no. It's time to let the boobies,
hit the floor.
Wasn't that all in the same promo?
I think so. And there was also a Beauty and the Beast joke, and Rhino was supposedly the beauty.
Oh, Jesus. Wow.
We got a man beast and a hose beast.
Yes. So now we're going to see them actually try to be amicable with each other.
And try to have somewhat of a civilized conversation. Oh, God.
No, they will. Because
they will. Yeah. I just
corporate.
You know,
because corporate.
Because shill. Okay? Sorry. Chris, love you, man. You're one of the best of all time. You're a rock star. You're a multimedia empire whiz. But you're a shill. Sorry. You are.
Yes, but he is also a filthy, stinking, rich shill with a hot wife, three kids, and he's living his dream.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bastard.
That lucky bastard?
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, I'm curious. This one I might actually watch. I wasn't interested in the John Cena one because I knew it was going to be a bucket of softballs. I don't expect this one to be Austin level, but I do expect a little more. I expect a little more this time.
Do you think he should? Okay, let me ask you this. I didn't ask you this. What would you like to see him ask about that is not necessarily controversial, but would be interesting?
I would like him to ask her perspective from the Invasion era and that epic promo we just discussed.
Hmm.
And maybe even peel a layer back and say, hey, you know, just to see, hey, Jericho, did you have to clear all these insults with Vince? And did you rehearse them with Stephanie?
Hmm.
I would like to see him ask what her parenting style is. That would be a fun question.
Yeah, I want to hear what is like with her girls at home, because I know they've already said that they're old. I think Tripp's already said that their oldest has expressed a desire to become a diva.
Uh-oh, Aurora Levesque? Boy, what's that going to come out in the name generator?
Well, I think, no, she'll just come out as Aurora.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll have a pony gimmick. Edit that out, Jim, I dare you.
Wow, very nice.
So, anyway. So we've got a pay-per-view coming up, but I'm not ready to go into Pick'ems just yet.
Hmm.
Well, I have two things. First, I have to report some sad. No, actually, if I'm going to wait for Brian.
before
I talk about that.
Let's talk Taz for a minute, actually.
Yeah. And it's technically not talking about TNA because there's not a TNA anything left on him, on his, you know, left on him.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, he said he left on good terms. That his actual issue was the paychecks. It wasn't Josh. It wasn't the Al Snow thing. And it wasn't the fact that they, you know, they'd stuck him with Josh and he couldn't get Mike Tenay back. He simply said, you know, his paychecks were late. He treats business as business, and, you know, since he, you know, he stepped out the door and told him, you know, I don't need to work for you anymore. They did send him the remainder of the money owed.
Good.
So he's free and clear. That's it.
Yeah. So he's free and clear. There was a bit of a falling out, but it wasn't with any one particular individual. I think he was just sick of the nonsense that was going on in TNA because it was worse than ECW in the dying days.
And he ain't going to play that shit twice.
No. And he's gone on record that Paulie always took care of him. Dixie? I'm sorry. She's jerked too many people around for too long, and Taz has seen this. You're right. He doesn't want to go through this shit again. You know, mm-hmm. I did this 15 years ago. I'm not doing it again. So, what next for the human suplex machine?
Global Force? Oh, speaking of which, we've got actually, well, dates for their touring.
They've got a few dates down there. They're trying to talk about overseas, I think.
Yeah. Right.
By the way, we have a couple of pieces of news. Oh, boy. We have now 6 NXT releases today.
What?
Spring cleaning.
Whoa.
Yes, any names?
No.
Where's the list of people who've been taken out permanently?
Okay. See Denzel Freeman. Okay.
Nope.
Tony Briggs.
Nope.
Courtney Freeman. No relation. Nope. Dustin Mueller. Lavana Zakari.
Wait a minute. These are all real names, aren't they?
Yes, correct.
Okay. Let's see if there's a gimmick name deal, because that might get me somewhere.
Most people have to go through the name generator.
Yeah, because all those names don't ring bells at all.
All right, hold on.
Somebody brought his own chair.
Mr. Henninger.
There you are, Brian. We held up the show for you.
Well, hey, Nikki. I'm honored to be here.
So pull up a chair and please sit in it. Right now we've talked a little bit about Raw. We were talking about Taz's release, which was a lot more amicable than we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason is currently going through the list of some NXT releases. After all, they had to make room for Uha Nation.
Yeah, well, because Laszlo Vondrasek was a former Olympic bobsledder.
Oh, wait a minute. I actually recognize one of those names now.
Who?
Lavana Zakari. If you remember, she was the other party in the Seth Rollins issue that happened a few months ago, the last name rang a bell.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
well, yeah. About that.
Well... Because if
I think that's her anyway.
Yeah, Lavina Zakari. Let me just see. let me just say, Lavina, Zachary, Seth.
The plot thickens, McGarrett.
Yeah, it does. Hold on. Lavina, Zachary, Seth Rollins. I don't see her.
Okay, it might not have been her then.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I sorry, the name looked exotic enough to where it could have been her. But it looks like, yeah, she never really got off the ground at all, so, yeah. That was it.
No, no, the woman you're thinking of was Zara Schreiber.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's her.
That's jeez, her.
Please, too exotic of names.
Yeah, it's okay. And it's Dustin Mueller, Courtney Freeman, C. Denzel Freeman, and Tony Briggs. Now, speaking of NXT, let's give some positive news.
Yes.
To NXT. Number one, NXT TakeOver May 20th will be the next live show because they had some tapings. Okay. But we have NXT road dates for us for April, May, and early June, if I may.
Yeah.
Next week starts their tour in Lakeland, Florida. May 1st is Tampa, Florida, at the UACDC Gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
May 2nd is at Cocoa Beach at the Cocoa Armory. May 8th is in Largo at the Minreg Hall. Thursday, May 14th, Tower Theater in Philly. Okay.
Are you going?
I wish.
DRM?
he's going to. May 16th is Albany, New York at the Washington Armory. Pre-sale next Saturday. May 6th, May 23rd, Stark, Florida. May 29th, Citrus Springs. May 30th in Venice. And then, Nikki, June 11th in Pittsburgh at the AE Theater. June 12th in Cleveland at the Agora.
Mm.
And June 13th in Columbus.
Back where they were for the first ever a road trip show at the LC Pavilion. It'll probably sell out within the hour again, and yeah. I will probably be at work.
Now, the only thing that gets me is is it going to be kind of weird for them doing shows at theaters?
Well, seeing a wrestling show in the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Well, I know that, but it just seems kind of weird for them to do a show like in a theater that's not like a theater in the round setup.
Other wrestling promotions have done it before to some degree of success. See Chikara Pro at the Trocadero in Philadelphia.
And Stapboy, did you ever see HWA at that abandoned opera house that I think they finally condemned?
No, I have never done that. I was up in Toledo for most of it.
Okay, I'm guessing it was an old opera hall. And this place was crumbling.
Mm.
Oh my God, this place was such a mess. The seats weren't in the greatest of shape. There were actual Statler and Waldorf areas that you could sit. They did that for a couple of shows.
Like actual opera boxes.
Yeah, they had to. There were two opera boxes. I sat in one of them. They put the ring up against the stage, and they used the They would just keep the curtains closed and use the backstage area for Gorilla. If you went up into the balcony area, it was all tarped off. It was all dark. You couldn't see anything. You couldn't do anything up there. Well, I'm sure you could do something, but I wouldn't recommend it. Anyway, so I don't know if they've knocked the building down, but I know they finally said nobody is allowed in this building anymore because it might fall on you.
Hmm.
And, you know, seeing wrestling shows in gymnasiums, in, veterans lodges, which is not fun because you have low ceilings.
Mm-hmm. I can tell you this. I know that World Wrestling All-Stars did their one and only American pay-per-view at the Aladdin Theater in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Which that was the least of their problems.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I remember HWA doing a show at a lodge, and they had their ring set up, and there was only about another 5 or 6 feet to the ceiling.
So we're talking no high spots.
We had a couple of attempts. We left footprints on the ceiling.
Oh, geez. Oh, by the way, before we get to one of the reasons why we got Brian in here, I actually have a legal brief for you.
Oh. Good. You know, that's right. VRM, did you send him that, or did Jason find it on his own?
I think maybe Jason found it on his own, because I sent it to you.
Okay. Are you talking about the Gilbert lawsuit?
No, oh, more stuff on the Amon stuff, on the Amon suit.
No, I there did not. Was... No, that. Oh no, that one you need to let's go into that. I have no idea about this one.
There is an update, and there's a lot of legalese stuff that someone's going to have to translate, because they had their first court date this past Tuesday.
Okay, let's see. Activity date, libel to file, summons served, notice sent, certificate of mailing filed, notice of motion, memorandum, motion scheduled, strike for motion call, courtesy copies allowed, strike or withdraw complaint. This is just normal procedural stuff.
Right.
Okay. Because, though, in other words, on the 21st, which was Tuesday, okay, they scheduled a motion for this coming, the 27th, it looks like, okay?
Right.
And then they filed an amendment, and there's going to be some amended pleadings. Amon is going to have to amend amend his side on the 19th, and Mr. Brooke... Brooks, hello.
Nice job. Nice job, court dockets.
Yeah, okay.
You had one job.
Yes, exactly.
And and once he reads that docket, he ain't going to be happy.
Pay attention to me!
Yeah, exactly. So Mr. Brooks is going to have, that's CM Punk for you and me, is going to have file his amendment, and there's going to allow some courtesy copies required. And there's going to be some amended complaint that needs to be done by July 20th. So this is going to happen throughout the entire summer, pretty much. Okay. So there's that. Now, this week, a guy by the name of Tommy and Doug Gilbert. Brian, you may know these guys.
Oh, yeah. Dangerous Doug Gilbert. Oh, dear Lord.
Okay. They sued WWE and ESPN for the use of Doug's likeness and for the likeness of the late Eddie Gilbert seeking royalties. Get this, though. Okay? The Hollywood Reporter reported that ESPN won a victory over UWF wrestler Stevie Wild Thing Ray. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, he's not the same Stevie Ray who was in Harlem Heat. This guy was white.
Okay, in the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, Ray had alleged in a lawsuit that the Disney-owned sports network violated his quote-unquote privacy and publicity rights, according to the Missouri law, and regarding to the ESPN Classic re-airing the episodes of the now-defunct UWF from the 1990s. The three-judge panel echoed the conclusions of the Missouri District Judge, who ruled against Ray, citing that his claims were preempted by federal copyright law. In doing so, the panel implied that going forward, plaintiffs can only avoid preemption by going beyond an attempt to stop the rebroadcast of copyrighted content and proving something additional beyond the usage of their name or image. In other words, like this. It's okay for ESPN to use the libraries they own, but if they use the image in a media campaign promoting it, then it needs to come. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the opinion noted ESPN did not use Ray's likeness or name in an advertisement without his permission to promote its commercial products, and that a district court correctly noted Ray's likenesses could be not detached from the copyrighted performance that were contained in the films. Now, Brian, I have a question for you. Did Eddie Gilbert or Tommy or Doug Gilbert ever fight Jerry Lawler in the Memphis days that you know of?
Eddie Gilbert did all the time.
Aha! Well, you know what
Eddie Gilbert did all the time, and also Dangerous Doug Gilbert, he wrestled in one of the Royal Rumbles. I want to say the 95 Rumble when they had their working agreement with the USWA.
Okay. Well, here's the very interesting thing. You do know that there is a Jerry Lawler DVD coming out very soon.
Yeah, coming out next month.
I am guessing this is all about the money. Okay.
It's all about the money. Yes.
Okay.
Doug Gilbert, if you know anything about his history in professional wrestling, is, to borrow a phrase from the late, great Graham Chapman, he's a loony.
Yeah.
This is the guy who famously shot on Memphis television and told the world that Randy Hales was smoking crack cocaine.
Oh God, that guy?
Ooh. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, the Gilbert family, there's three of them. There was Eddie Gilbert, their father was Tommy Gilbert, and his younger brother was Doug Gilbert.
Now,
Doug Gilbert was he's sort of the loony of the family.
Now, here's the interesting question. I'm going to ask you this, Nikki.
Okay.
Because of the success, and I will call it success now with the WWE Network, okay, we're going to probably see more of these wrestlers try to get money, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. But see, the problem is that WWE has things restructured. It's different on the internet because these guys are suing using television broadcast rights and video sales. WWE isn't selling anything, and technically they're not broadcasting anything.
It's going to get very interesting because I think we're going to see more of these. I really believe that.
No, I agree. I'm just saying that this is the base that they're using, and WWE is going to say it's on the internet. We don't pay our own employees about that, or not per appearance, if you will.
Uh-huh.
Which is what the way most wrestling contracts worked up until the internet.
And also how it works in home video sales. That's how a few years ago Medusa got a check for WWE for like $400,000 because they put a bunch of her matches on like the WCW and Best of Nitro DVD sets.
Oh yeah, and oh by the way, the wrestlers watch this really closely because even when you are an employee or a recently former employee, you got to keep track of that. And you can I have heard stories of WWE wrestlers having to call headquarters and say, hey, you used me for this, this, and this. Where's my money?
And they usually do pay. It's not like
It's not like WWE isn't doing it on purpose, I think. But, wrestlers need some money.
Precisely.
Yeah. Now, Nikki, if I may.
Go ahead.
The reason why we had you on, Brian, outside of your awesome personality, is because...
Well, I thank you for that.
You have a story about somebody who passed away in the wrestling community, and you can tell us about him.
Yeah, a very sad day here in the Knoxville area. A man by the name of Ron Wright, the King of Kingsport, as he was called, he had been a fixture in the... East Tennessee wrestling scene for, since the 1950s. He and his brother Don Wright, they wrestled for the Kazanas. They wrestled for the Fullers in the 1970s, the 50s through the 70s. He became a megastar in this part of the country, and he was sort of the Ric Flair of our era. He was the man who was loved and hated by thousands,
mm-hmm.
as my dad used to say. He transitioned to becoming a manager in the 1980s, and he worked for the Fullers for what was called Championship Wrestling USA. And briefly, he was a manager in Continental, but most fans, if they know anything about him nowadays, would know him as the wheelchair-bound manager of Tony Anthony, the Dirty White Boy in Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And he was with them from the very beginning to the very, very end, but... People don't realize how big of a star he was here. He was a megastar in this area, and he'd been sick for a while. He'd been moved to hospice care not too long before this, and he was 78 years old, and he will be deeply missed by all of us.
Now, I have a question for you. Did you watch his work?
I've watched a great deal of his work. I watched his work in Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And he was a great manager and a great talker. Sadly, a lot of the footage of him actually wrestling does not exist, unfortunately, because you know how it was in the 1970s. A lot of footage was wiped after it was aired. There is one video of him cutting a promo on YouTube of him with the commentator Big Jim Hess, which is hilarious if you want to see it. And, you know, Adam Native put it best. He said that his character was so different from what a lot of people was. He was a heel, but he wasn't a heel because he was a bully or because he was, you know, evil or because he was greedy. He was just a heel because he was an asshole.
Yeah, there you go. That's true. And I watched
it. Yeah.
I saw the clip. He wasn't it. He was an annoying POS. That's what he was.
And he was great at it. He was wonderful at it. And but he was the guy who originated the loaded boot, where he claimed he had an orthopedic boot that he had to wear because of like some injury or something, and he always would tap it on the ground to load it, and the kick was always like, you know, death. It would just hit you and you're gone. But he was an amazingly good talker. May not have been the greatest professional wrestler, but, you know, he didn't move around much. He did wrestle. I think he wrestled once at Madison Square Garden. He wrestled in a few other territories. But for the most part, he stayed in this area, in the Appalachian territory. And he was one of those characters that he was there every week. And he was always a big star. And, you know, he like I said, he was the Ric Flair of East Tennessee. And the fans just absolutely loved him.
And loved to hate him.
Oh, loved to hate him. He was amazing. Well, you know, he would, you know, cut promos and be evil and vicious. But then they'd bring in the evil Germans or the evil Russians, and he'd become a patriotic hero and say, "Hey, I may not be the nicest guy, but I ain't going to let someone run our country down." And he'd become a face for a month and beat on them, and he'd go back to being a heel again. So, like, kind of like, you know, like a Ric Flair or a Steve Austin would do. But, you know, he was a megastar. And my daddy loved to watch him wrestle. I loved watching him as a manager because he could get heat like nobody's business. And he was a great character, and he will be missed in this part of the world.
Would you require a tribute, sir?
If it wouldn't be too much of a trouble.
Gentlemen, if you will please rise and remove your hats if you're wearing one in honor of this legend. Rest in peace.
Thank you very much. Rest in peace, Ron.
So I think we've got...
And I thank you for that.
No, you're very welcome. I know you're very passionate about old school wrestling, and we cannot belittle any individual who has given so many years to the business. Even if it wasn't on the greatest stage of them all, he was still in a huge territory. And was very influential to that territory. And we can't ignore that. And we certainly couldn't ignore the hype for the pay-per-view this Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Stat Boy.
Yes?
You said you were ready. You said you spent all day putting the spreadsheet together.
Yeah, I've been working on it for hours on end. And I do have it in front of me ready to go unless any matches got announced later today.
I hadn't seen anything.
Okay.
Just make sure I've got I'm listing everybody because I am horrible. Let's see. There's five of us. Okay.
There are
just making sure that I have everybody. Go ahead.
Right. There's a total of 8 matches on this card, 9 points possible, and of course the wild card is always in play. First things first, we go to the pre-show, where your current tag team champions, the Masters of the WWE Universe, that would be Tyson Kidd and Cesaro, versus New Day Sucks, 2 points, who wins, and who stares at the
pretty last. I am so glad that's back.
That haunts my nightmares.
Good.
My question about this match, though, is who are the friggin' faces?
The Masters of the WWE Universe.
The Swinging Cats are.
The Upper Cats, yeah.
Well, I'm torn. I would like the Upper Cats to continue their domination of the tag team division. But looking at the tag team division, we have New Day, we have the Swinging Cats, we have the Primetime Players. We are short the Usos.
And probably will be for some time.
Right. Los Matadores, if they're still around, or if they're going to get a gimmick makeover. Most of which are faces.
Mm-hmm. Only the Ascension are not.
So, to make this interesting, yeah, we haven't done this in a while. The New Day's going to win the tag belts and play Freebird.
And who's going to get pinned?
Tyson.
Okay.
But wait a minute, okay?
Okay.
If they play Freebird,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
If they play Freebird, we mm-hmm. know who Michael Hayes is going to be. We know who'll be in the Michael Hayes role. We know who'll be in the Jimmy Jam Garvin role. And we know who'll be in the Buddy Jack, the Buddy Jack Roberts role. But mm-hmm. who's going to be Precious?
Well, you know what?
Alicia freaking Fox. Anyway,
No. I have an answer to that.
I saved that one. I'm proud of myself. I saved that joke.
Good. It's a good one, though. So, who's next?
Brian, since you spoke up.
Okay, both of these teams have been doing well lately. I think they're wanting to make the New Day heel and make them like a serious heel. And the best way to make a tag team a serious heel is to have them win and have them do the Freebird rule. So I'm going to go on your side, Nikki. I'm going to say the New Day is going to win. And I think that the master of the airbrushed tights, Tyson Kidd, will stare at the pretty, pretty, pretty lights.
Okay.
Okay, VRM?
I am in 100% agreement here. I'm saying the New Day Freebirds and Tyson takes the fall.
Jason?
That make it 4 in the exact same way, only because the fact that the New Day the New Day Sucks chant is so over right now. It really is, and they took a false positive gimmick, you know, and turned it into truly nasty stuff. They took shit and turned it into gold. That's what I'm saying.
I'm reminded of a certain someone back in 1997 when he was being forced down the throats as the super traditional babyface, and he started hearing the X sucks and die X die chants, and what did that turn into?
Exactly.
Right. Yep.
And that's what this is. So, Snapboy, do you have a broom?
I'm not sure. Is that corn or silk? Either way, it's still a broom. New Day wins. Kid gets staring to pretty lights, I guess. I'm not terribly confident in that, though. I have a funny feeling that it's going to be completely flipped.
You're welcome to choose differently. We are not pressuring you.
Well, true. It's more along the lines of how many heel teams do we have? Two?
Mm-hmm.
Because technically the masters of the WWE Universe are switching over to face. New Day's going to heel, and the only other heel team you've got's the Ascension. Realistically, that's not very good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just makes sense, I guess.
And if not now, soon, though. But yeah. I think it's going to happen at the pay-per-view.
It will happen by the next pay-per-view payback at the very latest.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, Lucha Dragons come in and go, "Ooh, my belts."
Well, there's your third team right there, actually. Or do mm-hmm. did we mention them before? Because the Lucha Dragons are going to be involved in this. The primetime players are going to be involved in this. Hoo boy, okay?
Yeah. And now to the Divas title match, I guess. Nikki Bella, your current champion, part of the Bella Skanks, versus Naomi, who's also acting quite skanky. Admittedly, though, from what I've recently read, apparently there's no heels, no faces, all of them are just catty women. Thanks, Kevin Dunn, you beaver face. Who wins?
Is anyone flushing?
If I may.
Okay.
Swirly!
Oh, jeez. Okay. I just thought I'd get that out of the way. You taking that half?
Yeah. He's taking that half.
I'm not, and I will tell you again. Naomi as a heel in the last 2 weeks has energized the Divas division more than anybody has in a while. And it is going to be so great when either Paige and or Charlotte takes the belt from Naomi. Naomi wins.
I'm with him, but I'm biased because I've been a fan of Naomi since the NXT days. So, Viren?
Can we please get the title off of Nikki? Please?
That sounds like a vote for Naomi. Stat boy?
VRM, how should I put this? No, it won't happen. I hate saying it, man. Trust me. Because I think the Bella Urchins are pretty much the blight, the biggest blight right now in the Divas division. But they are the stars of the show, so the show will continue on with them until we get Paige coming back from WWE or from WWE movie, and she'll take the belt. So Nikki wins in my book.
Okay.
Yay.
Now, what movie is she doing right now?
Santa's Little Helper.
With the Miz.
The dog from The Simpsons is going to be in a WWE movie?
Nice. Very good.
What about Snowball 2?
She's going to be working the craft services table.
Meow. All right. To the first of the matches, I guess. I don't know. Does this have a gimmick to it? Ambrose versus Harper?
I think they said Street Fight Chicago on SmackDown.
And they're in, what, the Rosemont?
Yeah, which means that we're going to have a smart-tastic crowd.
A smart-tastic crowd chanting for a guy who's going to be halfway across the town watching hockey.
Yeah. And you know he's going to tweet about it. What's going on at the Rosemont? I'm at the Blackhawks game.
Oh, is it at United Center on Sunday?
Let me take a look.
Actually, I think isn't it tomorrow? I think it's tomorrow.
NHL score.
NHL.com.
26
Yeah, they tomorrow. It's tomorrow.
Okay.
It's tomorrow. So. So.
Mm, lovely.
Maybe the Bulls are playing.
Bulls?
Nope. The Bulls are in Milwaukee.
Oh well. Well, that's where Perfect. CM Punk is training anyway. So. Yeah. So Harper, Ambrose, Chicago street fight, right?
Yeah. Yes. Who wins?
Yeah. I'll start things off.
Okay.
I'm gonna say it's gonna go to Happy Scary Dean because he needs to start building up the momentum and the swell for Money in the Bank.
Oh, that's a good call.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it happening here. Luke Harper's character is starting to get a little bit of traction, and I think Harper wins in an awesome, awesome match. But this ain't over. It's the start, not the finish.
The winner of this match is the fans.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I'm torn because you guys both have a good point. You know, Harper, they're finally starting to do something with Luke Harper. Ambrose has been running in place for a while, so I don't know. This is hard. Because if this is just the start of the feud, then yeah, Harper's going to win. If this is just something for Ambrose to do before he can start chasing Seth, and he probably won't start chasing him until closer to Money in the Bank anyway. I'm sorry, Dean. I know your track record of pay-per-views. Harper wins.
All right. I'm going to take Dean here. I mean, it's going to be one hell of a tilt. It's going to be fun to watch, and there's going to be all kinds of plunder being used, if you will.
Yes.
But it's going to be one heck of a fight, but I think Dean's going to win. I think they're going to start building them up, like I said, for Money in the Bank. So you know what? I'm going to take Happy Scary Dean in a walk.
And Stat Boy, your thoughts?
Everyone does provide good points, but the thing is, it's a little too soon for anything to be really built up towards Money in the Bank. It'll start up at Payback. So Harper will win, and I don't believe I am saying this, but I'm invoking the wild card right here.
Go for it.
And this is going to be something incredibly goofy.
Hey.
During the match, Dean Ambrose is going to unleash something that'll be like, wait, are you serious? He's going to put out a Chicago deep dish pizza, and he is going to use it.
Auto.
I call, okay, auto win.
Okay.
That's funny as hell. So you're saying
I would pay more than $9.99 to see that.
So he's going to have a Chicago deep dish pizza under there.
Yes.
A Chicago deep dish pizza somewhere in the building that he is going to plaster Luke Harper with.
Yeah.
Finally force him to wash his damn wife beater. Anyway.
Okay, that's that is one of the funniest wild cards ever. I'm impressed.
And that is why I am endorsed. I agree with VRM. I will accept an auto win on that. I'll allow it.
Now let's get it on.
We still need to get that Mill Flane sound effect for that.
I will wait till things die down at Casa de Williams before I ask.
Okay. Or you could ask one of us.
If any of you guys are bored, you know, you got a minute.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now it's time for the... Yeah, I think I know which way this match is going to go. Reigns versus Big Show. Who wins?
Oh, please. It's super ovary popping time for the reason being this is the rebuilding of Roman Reigns slow but surely. Big Show doesn't need this. Reigns wins.
Yes, you're right. And I have it on good authority that Reigns is going to go into WrestleMania as the champion next year.
Ooh.
And the challenger, well, I'll announce here in a few moments. It will be of no surprise to anyone, though.
Hi, kids.
Yep, that'd be him.
Oh, good grief. Are you kidding me? Really? Where did you
really?
If I may ask, what's your source on this?
Smart Wrestling Fan, another of the podcasts I listen to. They were the ones, if you remember correctly, who correctly spoiled the entirety of WrestleMania 29, including the incredibly short Daniel Bryan Sheamus match.
That was 28.
That was 28.
Yeah, that'd be the one, the 18-second match. They were the ones who correctly predicted everything.
Put it to you this way. If you have seen a Reigns in Texas, really?
Oh, God.
Yeah. Cena Reigns in Texas.
There's going to be an
Cena challenger Reigns champion.
There will be an angry rattlesnake.
Which means, panic alert, Roman Reigns is winning Money in the Bank. And winning it at the Rumble.
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Not in Columbus, man. No. If you want, happy customers, Dean's pulling down that damn briefcase.
Yeah, WWE,
about that.
Happy customers, choose one.
I understand.
All right, so who's next?
Well,
outside
okay,
of
is anybody voting for Big Show?
No.
Does Tomko give you beats?
Thus. Next.
All right, there we go. And now it's time to the Kiss Me Bum match, where the loser kisses the winner's bum. Why? Because they're bums.
Wild card.
Bitches. Ziggler, Sheamus, who wins? Let's go with one of the wild cards first.
Nikki, take it.
Okay. I think Sheamus is still going to win because we're just getting started on this mess.
Okay.
But in the course of the match, we're going to see both their asses. That's my wild card.
A double moon.
Yes, we will get a double moon, and I will not complain.
At least not for one of them, right?
I'm more interested in one than the other, but Sheamus doesn't have too bad of a behind. It's just a little bright.
Brian, this isn't Ric Flair we're talking about. I've seen that. It was a nightmare.
Old man acts. No.
Okay.
I would like to see lots of young man ass. Thank you very much.
There's one thing Ric Flair likes more than bleeding, it's showing his ass.
Yes, because he will not willingly pull his trunks back up. I've seen a cage match where Flair got his trunks pulled down, ran around for 5 minutes, Hebner finally went up behind him and put him back in place.
Okay. This is a double wild card. Okay.
Okay.
Let me explain. This match will not happen. Okay.
Ooh.
Because these two men are going to fight Wade Barrett for the stripped Intercontinental title because Daniel Bryan will not be able to wrestle.
Okay.
Source? No, okay. The source is that he's out for a month with the injury.
Okay. 5 or 6 weeks, yeah, I've heard.
Okay.
30-day rule, okay.
30-day rule.
So that Barrett, Ziggler, and Sheamus will go for the Intercontinental title, and your winner and new Intercontinental champion will be Sheamus. Right there, calling it. I don't think it's going to win worthy.
Well, if the 30, You know, I like your idea, Jason, but there is one problem with that. Okay. If the 30-day rule exists, why the hell didn't they strip Brock Lesnar of the championship?
You try to get that away from him.
Yeah.
I withdraw my objection.
Unless you want to be a fight into oblivion, go for it.
Yeah. And additionally, the 30-day rule usually applies only to injuries, not to limited appearances.
And the 30-day rule is usually thrown at faces. Usually. It's rare
usually,
that
I mean...
Usually the heel weasels his way through the 30-day rule.
Yeah. Last year, that was a little bit of a weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
With the whole Daniel Bryan not giving it up for 2 full months.
They were hoping things would get sorted, so...
And it looks like they aren't again.
So, Brian, what do you think?
I'm going to save my wild card. I'm going to say that they're going to give Sheamus the win because they want to start building him up as a violent, destroying, you know, killer of worlds, and they have to start somewhere. And we all know that Ziggler will bump like a champ for him, so I'll give it to Sheamus.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be much the same there. I mean, Sheamus is just coming back. They need more credible heels. Because right now you have a bunch of namby-pambies.
Baron?
I really like Jason's logic with choosing the Intercontinental title triple threat match.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is going to happen. But I don't want to go out on a limb and say that yet. So instead, I'm just going to say... Turn down the contrast. Turn down the brightness. Sheamus wins.
Okay. All right. And now to the next match. The first of three title matches that I consider to be actual real titles on the main card. And one that Jason's already kind of touched on. Daniel Bryan, Bad News Barrett. Who wins?
Should this match happen, and depending on Brian's condition, I think if this match happens, they're going to find a way to try to keep the belt on Brian. Because if any, you know, once they get him, you know, once he's back on TV, you know, everybody, you know, if you take that belt away from him, you're going to upset the fans. I realize what I'm saying, but I just don't see them putting it back on Barrett right now.
I really do think that Barrett's going to win via forfeit, and they're just going to give him the title because, well, LOL authority.
That'd be some good continuity. So, yeah, you got a good pick there.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jason. And you know what I said before. I don't think this match happens. So.
Right. I listed you down as a no contest.
Correct.
Okay.
Viren?
You know what? Just to be contrarian to Jason's wild card, I'm going to choose to throw a wild card in here also.
Okay.
Brian can't go.
Okay.
Barrett will be awarded the title, but someone is going to come out and we're going to have a match. I don't know who.
I'll throw a name for you. How about Neville?
Ooh.
Sex party.
The way they are presenting him, despite the crappy intro from Byron Saxton, that ain't out of the realm of possibility. Is that your wild card, sir? Okay.
Yeah, I will take that. And and because he's had some really good matches lately,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say they put him over.
Then he's going to win.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Oh, excuse me. The number threes will splooge if Neville it becomes the internet.
There'll be nothing left of the internet if that happens.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun to watch.
So, just to make sure, you have the winner of Bryan versus Barrett being Adrian Neville. Okay. But I don't know how that would... dang. I will put it down as Neville for now, then. For now.
Okay.
Brian?
I'm going to go with Barrett being awarded the title, but there will be a wrestling match of some kind. But he will walk out of the segment with the championship.
Okay. And now for the match that I'm not terribly looking forward to because of what happened at WrestleMania. Hackett versus Rusev.
Now, Statboy.
Yes.
Before we continue, what is Hackett from?
I don't know. Tell Jim Williams that.
Damn it! Jim, get your act together. I gotta find out. Because we already know, I think we already know the answer to this match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course.
Unfortunately.
So,
yeah.
let me just hand you a broom, Statboy, and save us a minute.
Hey, it's O Cedar, so you'll like this one.
O Cedar makes your life easier. Yeah, okay.
Although, here's the thing, and I'm going to say this right now. I've been reading a lot of pessimistic reviews from people who are waiting for the Rusev burial to begin. I don't think they're going to bury him. I mean, yeah, he's going to lose to Cena, but that doesn't mean he's going to get buried. I think he's going to get a lot of offense in, though. I mean, I think they're going to keep him strong.
Oh yeah, but you got to realize the internet believes that if you lose one match, you're getting buried.
Yeah, like
when Neville lost to Rollins, I saw people complaining that they were burying Neville out of the gate.
And those people I'd like to call idiots. That's right. Your moderator is calling you a bunch of idiots.
I can get. Can I move them for you, Statboy?
To room 101?
Well, I was going to say, I know you can't ban them because it's an opinion, and you can't really ban somebody for an opinion.
If they're condescending, yes, you can.
Okay. But I just thought you might want them all in one place.
Yes,
toasty.
But yeah, Cena's gonna win. But Cena Rusev is still gonna. It's not over yet by any stretch.
Oh no!
Can I call the ending spot?
Oh wow! Okay,
sure.
I'd like you all to think back, 2005 SmackDown. Texas bull rope match.
Refresh my memory, please.
Batista versus JBL, Texas bull rope match. Batista had JBL tied up in the rope, was carrying him on his back, and was walking around touching each corner. JBL was touching the corners right after him. So they had four corners. They each had three corners touched. JBL fought his way off and was reaching for the final corner. Batista was holding on for dear life. Eventually pulls him in, spinebuster, and slams on the final corner.
Huh. Yeah, I can see that. You know, where they do the carry spot with Rusev carrying Cena. We get to the final corner. Cena reverses it AA to get him away from the final turnbuckle. Slap, we're done.
Mm-hmm. All right. And from there, I think it's time for the main event. The WWE World Heavyweight Championship match. Your current champion, Sellout Seth, will be facing off against the Viper, Blandy Borton. And of course, this is in a cage, and the RKO is banned. Doesn't mean to punt, kids. Who wins? Rollins or Rollins? Oops, did I just spoil myself?
Yeah, you did. Yes.
Yes, but you're right.
And Brian. No, oh, yes. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Your wild card?
There is a wild card in this match. Okay, Rollins is going to win, but it's going to take the combined effort of Rollins, Kane, and J&J Security to keep Orton down.
So you're calling what specifically?
I'm calling that at some point in the match, Orton is going to attempt the punt. He's going to have him down. He's going to attempt the punt kick. Before he can do it, out is going to run Kane and J&J Security. They are going to get the key to the door.
Wait, hold.
Brian, I suggest you rethink this because Kane is already outside. He is serving as the quote-unquote gatekeeper.
The guardian of the gates.
Okay, so he'll have the key with him, right?
Yeah. More or less.
And he's not very happy with Seth right now.
No, mm-hmm. But
he knows where his bread is getting buttered. That's the thing. Where his bread is going to get buttered.
Right.
So he's going to open up the door, let J&J Security in, and the combined forces of all three of them, I'll leave Kane out of it, will be what it takes to keep Orton down.
So you're saying Kane is going to side with the authority?
He will side with the authority, and it'll take all four members of Team Rollins to beat Randy Orton.
I have a different take on this, if I may.
Hmm.
Rollins will win the match despite... Actually, Rollins will win the match despite Kane helping Randy Orton in some way, if you understand what I mean.
No, I know what you're... helping, not helping.
Yeah, and in fact, it's going to be the ultimate form of helping, not helping, because Kane's just going to finally snap and go back to Big Red Machine.
Woo!
Thank God.
I want my helmet back.
Yes. Yes, and this is, I think, going to be one of his last runs, per se.
Yeah.
Considering that he's starting to face down the Scepter of 50, yeah.
How old is Kane now, by the way?
46, I want to say. Let me double check that. I might be dead wrong. He might be older than that. He's 47. We'll be turning 48 tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Well, happy birthday, Kane.
On Extreme Rules itself.
48, yeah. This is his last go-round, per se. Do you think? I'm just asking the general consensus here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if he makes it to 50 wrestling, I'll be surprised. Okay?
I know he's getting more and more active in his, you know, home community, and I know he was interested in a political run. So I don't expect him to be I expect him to be done wrestling by the end of this year.
Are you calling Kane in the Hall of Fame for 2016?
2016, so he can go in with the Undertaker.
Hmm.
The Brothers of Destruction should go in together.
Wow. Okay.
All right. And with that, the picks are done. They're sealed away. If anybody needs any changes, you have until 7 p.m. Sunday.
And I'm assuming it will go on the NAWC Facebook page.
Yes, I'm actually doing that right now.
Excellent.
All right. Nikki?
Yes.
Time's yours.
Ah, yes. But before we call it a night, we have some, we got some shilling to do. So, Sepp, do you have anything to promote? Because you usually don't, but I ask anyway.
Not really. Not right now.
Okay. BRM, do you have anything to promote?
Nope.
Ooh. Heaps promoting robots.
So, Brian, I know you've got a couple of things.
I promote a few things all the time. I promote the best wrestling series, Wrestling with Regret by Brian Zane. Great episode this week, if you're into it. Talks about the brand split. Was it good for WWE? Was it not? You'll have to watch to find out. And also, The Oddity Archive by Ben Manott. Great episode this week. Speaking of Pixel Nation, which I also host with Jason Block, which I'm sure he'll promote that too. This week, he reviewed the Panasonic 3DO console.
Oh, wow. Okay, and I remember
wait
that.
Wait till the next episode. I can't wait to bag an Octorok.
Yeah, the next episode, he's going to do the CDI.
Oh, jeez.
That's going to be good. And if I may end my plugging on a bit of a high note, I'd like to wish a happy 62nd birthday to my wonderful father, David Henniger, who will be turning 62 this Sunday. Happy birthday, Dad.
Woohoo!
Happy birthday, sir. Now, Jason,
I'll do my best.
Don't take all night.
I'll try my best. First of all, I regarding Pixel Nation, I actually DVR'd the documentary Atari Game Over, which is now on Showtime, by the way, if you want to check that out. Brian, I don't know if you get Showtime, but
unfortunately.
Have you seen the documentary yet itself?
Oh, about Atari?
Yes.
I have seen it. It is amazing stuff.
All right. Well, I will have to check it out, and I will do that. Pixel Nation will be recorded, of course. We are heading toward the road to E3. For our buddy Jim Williams, Touch 'Em All, we just put up our first regular season episode. I believe we will be recording one next weekend. This weekend, we'll be doing another Red State, Blue State. Oh, boy, Hillary's in trouble. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my goodness. Seriously. We got some smoke and some fire coming out of the Clinton Family Foundation and a bunch of stuff going on.
Both sides are going after?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, okay. Then I have every right to play this.
Get the tomato!
What the hell was that?
That is
Google Wrestling Isn't Wrestling. Watch it twice.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Wrestling
is
wrestling.
And you got to watch it once for the story and then watch it again for the cameos.
Yes. Okay. WLTI Live will be finally recording a new episode this Saturday. We got a couple of scripts done. Gordon Pepper, Chico Alexander, and myself. BS Mixer was supposed to do a show this week, but of course, real life got in the way. So that will be coming around right around minicamp time, May 30th, I believe that's what High Muck and Muck said. I think. I'm not 100% sure. I will check that out. And of course, you could listen to all the wonderful, wonderful podcasts that are here, including all the stuff we just mentioned on Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, and of course, the best damn free radio app ever, TuneIn Radio, and which you can get them both at your Google Play Store or your Apple iOS store. So check them all out.
Now, I actually have something to promote, and I will do this as a favor to one of our other panelists, Chris Waters. Paper Review. We're in the process of replacing some episodes when his computer went kablooey. We are still working our way out of 1988. But at least now that my internet connection is working properly, we're actually getting finished on time. So We're continuing to catch up. I think we just did Survivor Series 88. Yeah, because we were making fun of the fact that they had like 20 guys on the apron and you can't put people spit side. Now you can't see what's going on. But we will continue our trip through the late 80s of NWA, later WCW, and the WWF. And just seeing where people are coming or going and working our way towards the next WrestleMania and the Mega Powers explosion. If you're interested, tindeck.com/users/CMWaters. We are trying to transition to CLW83. I'm not sure where the snag is, so I'm not going to blame anybody. So, with all that out of the way, for Jason Block, for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, for VRM, for our chairman, Brian Henniger, my name is Nikki Heyman. I hope you have enjoyed the North American Wrestling Connection. Do check in with us on a regular basis, and till next time.
Stay pony, my friends.